Good morning. I'm Nancy Fehrenwald. I'm an associate professor in the College of Nursing at South Dakota State University. I'm a public health nurse by background, and I'm going to be reporting today on some research that we're doing with Northern Plains and Mountains tribes in the area of organ and tissue donation. The participant pictures that you see in these slides are actual people who were either donors or recipients of organs or tissues. I would like to disclose that I have no relationships, personal or financial, related to this presentation. The funding sources for this research came from a couple different areas. The initial work, which was qualitative, was funded by a study with an associate degree nursing student from the Pine Ridge Reservation who wanted to do some research. And so we were able to find funding from a National Institute of General Medical Sciences Bridged Baccalaureate program, which is about developing community capacity for research within the tribal college systems in South Dakota. And she was funded under that mechanism to do that study with me. The other two studies were funded by HRSA, the Division of Transplantation. I work with a community advisory group led by the South Dakota Lions Eye Bank executive director and members of tribes. One person is a full-time employee on this work, and her name is Arliss Keckler. She's an elder from the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. Why does a public health nurse get involved in organ and tissue donation? I've asked myself that question many times. I was doing work at Pine Ridge at the time in the area of diabetes prevention and control. My work was with women of childbearing age and testing physical activity interventions. I received an invitation to participate in this work and declined because I really felt it was outside of my interest and my role. But after the invitation, we had conversations with the group I was working with, and I just said, you know, what would you do if this opportunity came your way? Oh, it's so important. People started to talk about their friends and neighbors and family members who were on dialysis, who had received a kidney if they were lucky enough to do so, and who were exuberant. So that's how I got involved with the work. There are numbers behind the work, and you see some of them there. There are many people on the waiting list for organ and tissue transplantation, and many of them die while waiting. There's a great number of people on that list who need a kidney or kidney pancreas combination. Here you see these are only the kidney data here. Nurses as health care providers and scientists, we are guided by those core professional values, the core values of public health nursing being social justice and discovering and resolving health disparities. The disparity that became apparent to me was that while American Indians are a small minority population in the United States, they have very important health disparities, which I was already working with at Pine Ridge. Here you see the states that have the greatest composition of the American Indian population, and my work is done in South Dakota and Montana, Minnesota, and North Dakota right now. Health disparities, Type 2 diabetes, 4 to 8 times more common, and that's from the Strong Heart study. We learned that 1 in 3 Northern Plains adults would develop diabetes over a period of time. End-stage renal disease is 3.5 times more common, and the age of onset is 6 years younger in the American Indian population. Of course, there are all kinds of issues about health care access for American Indians, especially in the areas of rural South Dakota where access to facilities is limited. Dollars for contract health services, which pay for care beyond primary care services, are limited and capitated by Congress. Therefore, people who have unmanaged or end-stage renal disease, who are waiting transplantation, or perhaps need to be screened or evaluated just for eligibility, wait on waiting lists sometimes for a period of time, despite the fact that these costs are covered by Medicare. Donation need and donation consent. There's a demand for kidney donors, obviously, and there are low cadaveric consent rates among American Indians. There are little data available publicly on this because the United Network for Organ Sharing, their data tends to report the largest minority population of the United States, and Native Americans are grouped within a smaller group of minority populations. But data in South Dakota from the South Dakota Lion's Eye Bank, which they receive all the referrals for deaths in South Dakota, showed that even for people who had indicated a desire to be a donor, there was still a very low cadaveric consent rate. And for people for whom there wasn't, it was absolutely flat. Families were not consenting to donation. In fact, there were two donors in a 10-year period. What we know about American Indians is that some work done at Johns Hopkins found that there's a better HLA match within three tribes in South Dakota, three of the Lakota tribes. And while we know that there no longer needs to be an exact match and that our anti-rejection drugs make it more feasible for a transplant to succeed, we also felt it important to share this information with the tribes, the science that was done, that people in their communities could find a 15% chance of an exact match within the tribe, which is much higher than the general population. We also know that there are better health outcomes, better quality of life with transplantation. Our research challenges and solutions. Tribal priorities. I was working with a tribe at the time, and an organ donation was not on the top of the list. However, really the work that we were doing with the tribes was driven by perception of community need and community assessment data. Well, this was community assessment data that was presented to me by the iBank that was then given to the tribes, who then determined whether it was important enough to pursue this area of health promotion and disparity resolution. I think the buy-in or the engagement with that process came out of an existing relationship built on long-term trust and participatory research approach with the community, which I'll talk about a little bit more. There was very little research in this area, so we undertook a co-learning process whereby we learned from each other about behavioral science, about cultural beliefs, and engaged in this endeavor. Our first study was the qualitative study done just at Pine Ridge. We wanted to discover the sociocultural patterns that influence organ and tissue donation decision making. Briefly, our findings were that people did know and talk about organ and tissue donation, but their knowledge was uncertain. They would say things like, I know there's something about match, but what I do know is that kidneys, and we need them badly on the reservation. The diabetes crisis framed everybody's knowledge about organ and tissue donation. Everyone who participated in the study knew someone who was waiting for a kidney and was on dialysis. Cultural transitions. There were messages and stories about traditional views about the treatment of the body and treatment of the body in order for the spirit to enter the spirit world. However, those beliefs were framed within the context of, but we must also save our people because we're losing our culture, we're losing our language, and we must have health to share, to continue to thrive as a culture. Participants in this study were concerned that the local healthcare system was not competent enough to honor their beliefs and values about treatment of the body in related to organ and tissue donation. Also, without prompting, every participant in this study said, we need organ and tissue donation education on the reservation, and we need it badly. So those findings informed our next study, which was done at four reservations in South Dakota. It was funded by HRSA. It was a community-based single group asked for by the tribes, by a community advisory group, with four reservations communities, so they are in yellow. And you see the star is the Flandreau tribal land, and the university where I work is just north of Flandreau, so very, very big state, very rural reservations. Our intervention development, I won't say a great deal about this, but I will say we went through a process of intervention development with the community where the community drove the intervention. They drove the selection of what the message should be from a cultural standpoint. I was the person who provided the input about behavioral theory and theoretical perspective, and together we came up with that approach. The messenger was selected by the population, and the messenger was a tribal elder who had established trust with all reservations. They elected not to have this work done by public health nurses because of mistrust of the IHS system. The materials that were developed are listed there. And then we had expert evaluation of the intervention before it was taken to the community, both by behavioral experts, community experts, and target population. We measured whether or not people changed their decision-making about being an organ and tissue donor. I'm not going to go into a great deal of information about that data, but we used the trans-theoretical model of behavior change. And we looked, the community advisory group found this especially appealing because behavior is not thought of as a dichotomous outcome of yes, I am a donor, no, I'm not. It's really more of a nonlinear cyclical process of decision making, intention formation, and preparation for decision making. The first stage being not thinking about being a donor and not intending to change, this pre-contemplation, which you see here. Contemplation being I'm thinking about it and I may change in the next few months. Preparation is taking some steps to change, perhaps signing a card but not talking to a family, or talking to the family and not signing a card. And action is doing all of those things. Our post-test results, we saw that change was possible. People did shift post-presentation. This is a oral delivered presentation by the tribal elder with a 13-minute video print materials that tell the stories of the community built upon the cultural tradition, oral tradition of storytelling, and the value of generosity. Donor designation, here you see out of the 1,580 participants, you see 175. Actually, we were able to follow up and verify that not only did they sign a card, they talked with their family about it. Lessons learned, very big limitations. Engagement with four very rural reservations and travel was a huge challenge for our tribal outreach coordinator. Some of the limitations about designation as a donor. People who live on American Indian reservations do not have to have a state driver's license if they drive within the reservation. And in South Dakota, the registry is the driver's license designation. So there are challenges about declaring intent to be a donor if you don't have a license. Yes, you can apply for a card through the state, but there's hesitancy to do that among tribal members. We did learn that change was possible, and our next steps were then to focus on a population that was younger, since we found that while we could collect limited demographic data, the trends were that younger people were more likely to make the decision to change. Our current project is with tribes, is called Tribes Sharing the Gift of Life. Instead of with all Lakota, Nakota, or Dakota tribes, it is with six diverse tribes, and our aim is to work with tribal colleges and universities to see if two different levels of intervention influence changes in intention to become an organ and tissue donor. Both of these studies were limited by the fact that we could not have a true control group. The Community Advisory Council and the tribal councils that approved these studies were very hesitant about even having the language of control group in a consent form because control conveys some coercion. And they really thought that it would convey a mistrust in the process. So our two levels of intervention here were the face-to-face education in the classroom by a peer educator, but also a tribal elder, which is different than the models that have been tested in other university settings where peer-peer education is found to be successful. But we propose that it's really not just peer education, that the peer has to be within the cultural context, but also that the tribal elder was essential from a cultural perspective. And the other was print materials and a website only at three of the six tribal colleges. Here you see the sites where this intervention is taking place. Intervention development, the same slide that you saw previously, but because these are unique tribes, not all Sioux, Da, La, Nakota, but very diverse tribes, how could we tell a story or build a message that would transcend tribes? And so that Community Advisory Council worked together to come up with materials that were tribe-specific but are shared across tribes, this being the Northern Cheyenne. The messages at the top, we are all related, come out of a Lakota term, Mutakwe Oyasin, which means we are all relatives, a common shared belief among tribes, but expressed differently in traditional language. Here we see we are all related. Salish Kootenai, we are all of the same heart. The Sioux, we are all relatives. And the Ojibwe, we are all related. Here you see some of our educational materials with different tribal members. Here you see some of their stories in the print materials that are also conveyed in the video. Here you see a print material with the donor designation card, which is a fly-off. Because of that limitation about the driver's license registry, it gives people an opportunity to carry the card in their wallet. This research is ongoing, but it's really a very nonlinear process of working with the communities to overcome challenges, to conversations, to gain tribal approvals, to address emerging issues that are all about access to dialysis, access to transplantation that are limited by cultural barriers and cost barriers, but geography being a huge reason. So the social action piece of this that is essential is not recognizing that the research is one step, but there's a great deal of social change needed in order to address these health disparities. And our long-term commitment is to do that with these tribes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, our fourth presenter is Sherry, and she will introduce herself. Remember, there's water underneath here if you want water.
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right.